Have you ever had a moment when you didn't recognize yourself? When your thoughts seemed foreign, your actions inexplicable? Come Closer explores this terrifying possibility. What if these moments weren't lapses in judgment, but evidence of something else moving in? This slim psychological horror masterpiece follows Amanda, a successful architect whose life begins unraveling when she hears mysterious tapping in her renovated loft apartment. What begins as an odd annoyance evolves into something far more sinister, a possession narrative so gradual and psychologically nuanced that it burrows under your skin, making you question every unexplained sound in your home and every inexplicable impulse in your mind. The invasion begins with three distinct taps around midnight. Amanda and her husband, Ed, live in a converted industrial building, a century-old aspirin factory with soaring windows and exposed brick walls that should feel like a sanctuary. Yet something isn't right. The tapping follows Amanda, stopping when she travels, but persisting relentlessly when she's home alone. Over weeks, the pattern grows more complex, almost like Morse code, a thought that keeps her awake at night. Amanda's dreams become the gateway for something ancient entering her life. She dreams of a beautiful woman with matted black hair named Naama, standing in a crimson ocean. Their embrace feels both familiar and frightening. Amanda realizes Naama resembles Pansy, her childhood imaginary friend. When she shares this with Ed, he dismisses her experience, suggesting Pansy was just a neighborhood girl, the first critical failure of dismissing intuition for rational explanation. The dreams intensify. In another encounter, a woman with small white feet and black eyes whispers, "Don't fight," and "I choose you," before embracing Amanda. After this dream, the tapping noise vanishes completely, an ominous silence suggesting whatever was trying to get in has succeeded. A new voice emerges in Amanda's mind, almost like her own but subtly different, encouraging impulsive behaviors and feeling like intimate companionship. The first truly alarming incident occurs when Amanda discovers someone replaced her work proposal with an obscene note insulting her boss. Though colleagues saw her deliver it, she has no memory of writing it. Small items begin disappearing, and even the stray dog that once followed her now backs away with raised hackles. Amanda receives a mistakenly delivered book titled Demon Possession Past and Present, containing a quiz listing 10 warning signs of demonic possession, from unexplained noises to violent urges. Initially scoring 4 out of 10, Amanda falls into the early stages of possession category. The clinical presentation of something as irrational as demonic possession creates a disturbing contrast, like finding a medical checklist for werewolf transformation. As her behavior grows erratic, Amanda compulsively retakes the quiz, watching her score climb from 4 to 7 as new symptoms emerge. She meticulously tracks each manifestation: levitation during sleep, unexplained marks on her body, and violent episodes she can't recall. With Naama's growing presence, Amanda develops disturbing supernatural abilities. Physical contact reveals visceral visions of others' private lives. A handshake with her butcher reveals years of family dinners and marital arguments. Her coffee vendor's cheerful demeanor masks resentment that Amanda witnesses through his nightly ritual of replaying customer interactions with unspoken cruel responses. The progression toward violence begins subtly but accelerates rapidly. The cigarette incident with Ed marks a turning point, her arm moving with deliberate intent to burn him, completely divorced from her conscious will. This wasn't absent-mindedness, but the first evidence something else could hijack her motor functions. The beach incident represents a horrifying escalation. Finding a young girl swimming alone, Amanda's body moves with predatory purpose. She grabs the child's hair, repeatedly forcing her underwater with calculated malice. Though the child survives, Amanda's complete awareness during the attack haunts her. She knew exactly what was happening, but couldn't stop herself. These episodes are terrifying because Amanda remains fully conscious throughout. Unlike traditional possession narratives where the host blacks out, Amanda experiences every moment with excruciating clarity. She's imprisoned within her own body, forced to watch as her hands perform actions that horrify her moral sensibilities, the ultimate violation of being both perpetrator and unwilling witness, unable to prevent harm despite desperate internal resistance. As Amanda's condition deteriorates, she seeks help through multiple channels, each failing her distinctly. Dr. Flynn diagnoses only low blood pressure and recommends more salt, a medical approach that completely misses the supernatural reality, demonstrating science's limitations when facing phenomena outside its paradigm. Sister Maria, her spiritual advisor, immediately senses an evil presence watching Amanda and provides a special demon-fighting wash. This religious approach acknowledges the supernatural, but offers merely symbolic resistance. Psychiatrist Dr. Gerald Fenton dismissively suggests Amanda is simply coming into her own as an adult. When he reveals knowledge of incidents Amanda never mentioned, she becomes alarmed. The psychiatric approach appears either incompetent or, more disturbingly, complicit with the demonic forces. Each support system fails uniquely, leaving Amanda profoundly isolated. Medicine can't detect the problem, religion can't solve it, and psychiatry might actually work against her, mirroring real-world experiences of those with conditions that don't fit established categories. The complete takeover unfolds gradually, then suddenly. Amanda's possession accelerates as her relationship with Nama turns coldly formal. With Edward gone, Amanda's consciousness fractures, waking in strange places, burning his clothes, trapping someone in the bathroom, vandalizing stores. In recurring dreams, Amanda returns to a crimson beach where Nama declares, "I love you. I'm never letting you go," revealing her motivation as perverse love and possession. When Edward returns during a snowstorm to announce his divorce and remarriage, Amanda desperately tries to communicate, but Nama locks her throat closed. As Amanda mentally pleads, she falls into darkness where Nama writes, "I win." Amanda awakens to police in her blood-soaked apartment with "I win" painted in Edward's blood. Institutionalized after pleading insanity, Nama thrives, controlling others. The final tragedy? Nama has given Amanda exactly what she unconsciously desired, someone to love me and never leave me alone, at the cost of her autonomy, identity, and humanity. Come Closer disturbs not just through supernatural horror, but by mirroring real human experiences of losing oneself to addiction, mental illness, or toxic relationships. We all fear being trapped inside ourselves, watching helplessly as something else takes control. The book ends with a fictional editor's note expressing regret over publishing this text that has generated unprecedented fear about demonic possession. They mention receiving constant letters from frightened readers seeking help, suggesting the book itself might spread demonic influence. This transforms the narrative from a contained horror story into a potential contagion, something that might infect readers through the very act of reading. It makes us question our own unexplained behaviors and mysterious household sounds. In our rationality-focused world, it awakens ancient fears still lurking in our collective unconscious. As the Demon Quiz warns, if you scored between 4 to 5 positive answers, you may be in the early stages of possession. What was your score?